Greg, the CO2 Coalition has put out an interesting chart. And before we get to the specifics of the book, A Very Convenient Warming, let's talk a little bit about Christmas. It is, of course, the Christmas holiday. Are our holidays getting warmer as we have more CO2 in the atmosphere?
Yeah, I thought I'd make a preemptive strike on what's sure to be something published in the media about this being the hottest Christmas ever, or decades, or the last decade's been the warmest Christmas ever. So I decided to take a look at Christmas temperatures in the lower 48 of the United States. Or actually, I had a research associate do that for me. He looked at the United States Historical Climatology Network, which is somewhat of the gold standard. It's run by the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. So this is all official government records. And we looked at the average maximum temperature for the lower 48. Now, bear in mind, maximum temperatures would be the daytime temperatures nearly always. And we took a look at that going back to 1895, and it's all over the place, up and down, up and down. But the overall trend is flat. It's slightly declining. We put the trend line to it, but barely. But it's not increasing, is what we're being told. It was really something to see that. In that chart, I compared carbon dioxide, atmospheric carbon dioxide, and all the while, carbon dioxide has been increasing. But we're being told that carbon dioxide increases are leading to unusual and unprecedented warming, and the actual facts, the science, and the data just don't support that, Lohman. It's something to take a look at this actual data. Now, bear in mind, this is average maximum temperature. We also looked at the average mean temperature, and that has increased in the lower 48 by about a degree over the last 100 years. But that's being driven by higher nighttime temperatures. So nighttime temperatures aren't as cold, and that's actually driving the warming that we see on the average. And so higher nighttime temperatures are a good thing. They're very good. It doesn't get nearly as cold now as what it did 100 years ago. And why is that so good? Well, it leads to longer growing seasons. Since 1900, the growing season in the United States has lengthened by 2 weeks. Farmers, agricultural producers, if you have an orchard, an apple orchard, there are many of those across Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, all across the country. What do they fear most? Late spring frost, killing frost. Well, now with higher nighttime temperatures, those killing frosts end earlier in the spring and arrive later in the fall. And so because of that, our agricultural production partly is due to this warming temperature of nighttime temperatures. And we should celebrate that.
It's interesting in your book, A Very Convenient Warming, how modest warming and more CO2 are benefiting humanity. Greg, of course, we have all these climate alarmists running around out there. Oh, we're going to cook. The oceans are going to rise. We're all going to die from heat. But what you're pointing out in the book, because you go back more than 40 or 50 years, you go back literally thousands of years, we may be in a warming trend, but we're actually still somewhat in a cooler period, correct?
Yes, we are. If we look in the really big picture of millions of years, we're in some of the coldest temperatures ever. Thankfully, we're in the middle of an ice age. We've been in this ice age for about 3 or 4 million years. We happen to be in a warm period. Right now, it's called an interglacial warming, thankfully. If we weren't, we would have the glacial advance we saw from 20,000 years ago with Boston under 1,000 or more feet of ice and nearly all of Canada under hundreds and thousands of feet of ice. That would not be a good thing. And that's coming at some point in the future. So we should celebrate this interglacial warming we're seeing. Also, Lohman, in the book, which you've seen, is a strong relationship. I have a whole section on the strong relationship between human history and climate history. And we find that these warming periods that we're in, like we are today, have historically been hugely beneficial to humanity with bountiful food production. Great empires and civilizations arose. And then each time it got cold, the intervening cold periods that went by the names of like the Greek Dark Ages, the Dark Ages, or the Little Ice Age, each one of those cold periods were just horrific to mankind. Each one of those was associated with crop failure, famine, pestilence, and mass depopulation. So what history tells us is we should fear the cold and welcome the warmth. Those that disagree, like Michael Mann, John Kerry, Greta Thunberg, they call me a science denier, but no, I grasp onto the science. We should label them history deniers, which is what they are, because they're denying that history tells us that warming is good and cold is bad.
In your book, you talk more about the relationship of the Pacific Ocean and the warming and cooling trends there as having a bigger impact on overall climate change than CO2 emissions. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, right now we're in what's called an El Nino event. These occur periodically. Each of the past big El Nino events in 1998, 2016, and the one we're in right now, we saw a big bump in temperature during this. It's Pacific Ocean event. The counterpart is called La Nina, which drives cooling or flat temperatures. So we see these big events. It was interesting. There was another big event that coincided with the eruption of Pinatubo, Mount Pinatubo, in the Philippines. And actually, that was the one El Nino that didn't heat up as much, and that's because Mount Pinatubo, and there was another huge volcano at the same time, put up so much aerosols into the stratosphere that it blocked the sun. And these big volcanoes, like, they can have a cooling effect on Earth's atmosphere for 4 and 5 years, which is what we saw after Pinatubo.
There also is a strain of thought, and we see this very frequently, unfortunately, in the legacy news media, where every time there's a hurricane or a forest fire or whatever, this is blamed on so-called global warming. As you pointed out, we're not denying that things are getting warmer, but is the warmer climate actually contributing to more natural disasters, or is the opposite taking place?
Well, that's fascinating. I mean, in the book, I capture this. I take this is data from the MDAT database out of Brussels. This is the worldwide UN data that I captured, and it shows since they started building out their disaster reporting network in 1970, built it out finally in 2000, and since it was completely built out, we've seen a 10% decline in natural disasters. And also, importantly, since 1900, we've seen a greater than 90% decline in extreme weather-related deaths. Now, granted, a lot of that has to do with better reporting. We get the alarm, there's a hurricane bearing down on Corpus Christi, you better head north now. People can get out of the way, and you get to the shelter, there's a tornado coming. So a lot of that has to do with this, but doesn't it go completely opposite to this mantra that we're being told that climate change, global warming-driven extreme events are killing more and more people? Again, the facts and the science just don't support that at all. In fact, it's just the opposite.
We have been talking with Gregory Wrightstone, who is author of the new book, A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity. Greg is executive director of the CO2 Coalition. And Greg, let's end by having you tell us a bit about the CO2 Coalition. And the book's not quite available on Amazon yet, but they can get it. Tell us how that can happen.
It's available at direct sales through the website, which is convenientwarming.com, convenientwarming.com. We'll have it up on Amazon either mid-January, mid-February, but go get it now. So convenientwarming.com. The CO2 Coalition is the premier scientific organization that's fighting back against climate alarmism. We've got more than 150 of the top scientists in the world. These are stellar scientists, including John Clauser, who's the current Nobel laureate in physics that joined our board this year. Dr. Will Happer, emeritus professor of physics from Princeton. Dr. Patrick Moore, who was a co-founder of Greenpeace. They all joined me in the board of the CO2 Coalition. So we're the tip of the spear when it comes to pushing back against climate alarmism. And that's co2coalition.org.
Gregory Wrightstone, author of A Very Convenient Warming. Greg, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Thank you.